121. If you don't know where Psalm is, go to Revelation, hang a left. You'll get there eventually. Psalm 121. Like I said, we'll be there in a few minutes. Just bear with me. Today is the day that we celebrate Palm Sunday, or the triumphal entry. And next week is Resurrection Sunday. And amen to that. I have to tell you, out of all of the holidays on the Christian calendar, Resurrection Day is my favorite. Okay? It is so important for believers to understand the impact of the resurrection. One time I was out at the prison preaching, and I won't tell you who, because many of you know who it is. but anyway, the week or two before Easter that I was out there, and I wasn't preaching an Easter message. At least I wasn't planning on it, but one of the inmates raised his hand and he said, "Hey, Pastor, I've got a question." And I had my Bible open. I was getting ready to preach. And I said, "Sure, what is your question?" And he said, why is Easter such a big deal?" And I'm like, "Are you kidding me?" And I just took my notes. I threw them off to the side. And I just threw my notes away. And we just went after the resurrection and the importance. And he just kind of sat there like, whoa. Because I wasn't ugly about it, but I wanted to leave him with the impact of what the resurrection is all about. And if you don't know, you need to come back next Sunday, because we're going to be talking about it. without the resurrection, Christ died in vain.
Amen.
Okay? 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 16 and 17 says this: "For if the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised?" Verse 17: "And if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain." It would have all been worthless. This week that we're going to be talking about would have been wasted time if he had not raised from the dead. The birth of Christ that we celebrate at Christmas would have been a waste of time had it not been for the resurrection. The resurrection is vitally important to believers. And this morning, I'm going to be sharing several several pictures from our trip to Israel. And I mentioned a bit ago that I'm excited about this message, because God gave me this message when we were in Israel. And if I remember when I get to this point, I'll share with you where I was when God put this message in my heart. And so I've been waiting since January to share this with you. I am just excited. I just preparing and seeing the pictures again got me all stirred up. I want to go back. Not right now. But many of the places that we visited, especially at the beginning, centered around the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. Because we actually started in Jerusalem. So the first 4 days, I think, many of the places that we visited had to do with the death, burial, and resurrection. So again, I'm just going to call out picture numbers. Chris knows, he has them. So picture number one, please. Okay, this is the Via Dolorosa. This is a possible route that Jesus took to the cross, okay? So this was a very impactful place for me, because I could, here I am walking potentially in the very place that Jesus walked. And it just left a huge impression in my life.
paving stones?
They're probably not original, but many of them, you can see that there's two different stones here. Many of them would date back to the time of Christ. But the city of Jerusalem is much older than that. I have a picture. I didn't think to take it, but put it up. But there is a picture of a pillar, and that is original to the time of Christ. We visited the empty tomb. Next picture. This was a. It's an incredible thing to see. That's obviously Melanie and I going into. The tomb. The next picture shows us coming out, and I can tell you for a fact, it is empty.
Yeah.
Amen. Amen. It's empty. A lot of people want to poo-poo it and say, well, that we don't know that that's the original, and we don't. We don't know that that was the tomb, but you know what? It doesn't matter. I don't care where it's at. It's still empty, okay? But I got to see this empty tomb, and it was awesome. Next picture here. This I like to show this to people. I don't know if you can tell, but this is where the stone would have set and would have rolled the stone over the tomb and back. So it's kind of cool because you hear the terminology the stone was rolled away, and this stone was incredibly. I don't have a picture of it here. I have a picture of one similar, but anyway, it would have taken several men, very strong people, to push it both ways. But it would ride in this track. So, anyway, very impactful to be at what they call the garden tomb, to be in the garden looking at this tomb. Very impactful, surreal in a sense. Does that make sense? Your emotions just run away, just an incredible experience. Before we left, I asked God to do a very special work in my life and help the things in the Bible that I've been reading for all these years to come alive and to you've been there, you know what I'm talking about, you've been there, to just come alive, and he did that, and it was such an incredible experience. But there's one thing that I asked, and that is this. I asked God, God, would you do one very special thing in my life that I'm not expecting? Okay, because I knew I was going to the garden tomb. I knew I was going to be going to the what they call Temple Mount. And I knew I was going to be doing certain things. But I asked the Lord, I said, do one thing in my life that I'm not expecting that will impact my life forever. And he did that. And I'm going to share it with you this morning. When I close my eyes and I think about our trip to Israel, I almost always have this picture in my mind. You know, you may be looking at that thinking, well, okay, what's the big deal? Okay, this is a picture. Let's go to the next one. This is a zoom in on it. This is the Eastern Gate. And where I'm standing when I took these two pictures, I am standing on the other side of the Kidron Valley on the Mount of Olives. I'm near the base of the foot of the Mount of Olives. And directly behind me is the Garden of Gethsemane. It's in the Garden of Gethsemane where later this week, Christ would sweat drops of blood for the sins of mankind. It would be in this garden that he would be betrayed. The Eastern Gate is significant for a lot of reasons. But one, probably the most significant reason, is because when Christ returns, he's going right through those doors. And you say, but they're all blocked off, and there are no doors. He happens to be the God of heaven, okay? Just saying. And prophecy tells us, Ezekiel chapter 44, verses 1 and 2, that then he brought me back the way of the gate on the outward sanctuary, which looketh toward the east, and it was shut. And the Lord said unto me, this gate shall be shut. It shall not be opened, and no man shall enter in by it, because the Lord, the God of Israel, hath entered by it. Therefore, it shall be shut. And so this is a prophecy that these gates, these entryways, will remain closed until Christ opens them. So here I am, standing and looking at these gates. Can you put that picture back up, Chris? I'm sorry. I'm standing there looking at these gates, and this prophecy is rolling through my mind. And I thought, one day Christ is going to blow those doors wide open, and he's going to walk right through, and nothing is going to stop him. Honestly, this, as impactful as it was, is not what left a huge impression in my heart and mind. I was expecting to see this. Now, when I saw it, it was more impactful than I expected. But that is not the thing that I'm talking about this morning. Before I took these two pictures that I just showed you, that morning, it was a rainy, cold, it was the worst day that we had while we were there. It was cold and rainy and just kind of yucky. but we started that morning here at this spot right here. This is the top of the Mount of Olives, okay? This is when Christ returns, he'll start here. He'll make his way down through the Kidron Valley, and he'll go right through those gates that I just showed you. So this is where we started that morning. It was very cold, like you can see in the distance, rain clouds in the distance there. Next picture here, Chris, if you would please. This picture here, if you could zoom in a little bit, which you can't, I'm just saying, if you want to, I can do it on my phone. But the building there with the gold dome on it is called the Dome of the Rock. it is a Muslim mosque now that is built on the exact site where the temple once stood. Okay? A lot of history right here, okay? And as I stood and I looked over the city of Jerusalem, God started a great work in my heart and life. But this, I'm still not to the point where God, we're getting there, okay? But it started here. This is, God started working in my heart. And I started seeing things, and then we made our way down the mountain, and it was here, or very close to where we're standing, where Jesus would have started his triumphal entry, okay, his trek down the side of the Mount of Olives, across the Kidron Valley, and then ultimately through the Eastern Gates and into the city of Jerusalem, because at that point they were not closed. They were still open and working. They didn't get closed, I want to say, till the 1500s or something. Anyway, it doesn't matter. So Jesus would have started his trek somewhere about where we are when I'm taking this picture, and he would have made his way down the mountain. And in Luke chapter 19, in verse 29 and 30, it says, "And it came to pass, and when he was come nigh to Bethsage and Bethany at the mount called the Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples, saying, Go in ye into the village over against you, in the which that your entry ye shall find a colt tied, whereon yet never man sat. Loose him and bring him hither." So this is where Jesus would have been, in the approximate area where Jesus would have started, got on the colt, walked down the Mount of Olives, and made his way across the Kidron Valley. So my point, all this is building to a point, okay? My point is this. Somewhere between picture number 8, which you just saw, this picture, somewhere between this picture and picture number 5, this picture, Jesus stops and prays for the city of Jerusalem. In Luke chapter 19 and verse 41, "And when he was come near, he beheld the city and wept over it." And then the following verses, there's a prayer that that Jesus prays over the city of Jerusalem. Jesus makes his triumphal entry into the city, and people are laying down their coats and their palm branches and all this. And that's why we call it Palm Sunday, because they were laying down palm branches as a show of royalty that would be entering into the city of Jerusalem. And as he's making his way into the city, they're yelling and screaming, "Hosanna to the King! Hosanna to the King!" And he makes his way into the city. Palm Sunday. Now, I've never done this, but the rest of my message is not on Palm Sunday. It's on Monday. Monday. The next day, after Jesus makes his way into the city, Jesus heads to the temple. In Luke chapter 19, verses 45 to 48, and he went into the temple and began to cast out them that sold therein, and they that bought, saying unto them, "It is written, My house is a house of prayer, but ye have made it a den of thieves." And he taught daily in the temple. But the chief priests and the scribes and the chief of the people sought to destroy him, and could not find what they might do, for all the people were very attentive to hear him. So what had happened? Jesus had made his way into the city on Palm Sunday. On Monday, he makes his way to the temple. And when he gets there, he sees that they've turned it into a den of thieves. In other words, what they were doing is, they're getting ready to celebrate Passover. And what they were doing is that the merchants knew that people from all over the world literally would travel to Jerusalem to celebrate Passover. and they were charging airport fees for things. So what I mean, airport, you know, if you've not ever eaten at an airport, you're a lucky person. But if you go to an airport to and buy something at an airport, it costs, what, three times what it would elsewhere. And that's what they were doing. Every time I try to buy some food at an airport, I feel like they're a bunch of thieves, because it's crazy what they charge. But you have to pay it because there's nowhere else to go. And what they were doing is they would, you know, typically, you know, if somebody needed to sacrifice a dove, let's say, and the dove normally would cost a dollar, where they were charging $3, $4, $5 for this same bird. And it had become a den of thieves, and it was something, when Christ got there, it was so upsetting to him, because the house of God, it should be a place of prayer and worship. And he cleanses what we call, he cleanses the temple. Okay, I'm still not quite there yet. Okay, I'm getting there. I'll be there in a minute. At this point, you may be thinking, okay, Pastor, what's the point? Okay, I'm about to get there. The title of my message, if you're keeping notes, is this: Worshiping God with Purpose. Worshiping God with Purpose. As I ponder the events of this week, this being Palm Sunday, I spent some time this week reflecting on my journey through life. Knowing that, like I said several months ago, that I was going to be preaching this message this morning, I have spent some time since then just pondering my life, my journey, right? Okay, we all have a journey, do we not? And my journey through life, and as I have pondered this, I've come to appreciate the journey that God has brought me on. This week we call Passion Week. Did I give you this, Chris? This. Yeah. Okay. You want to put that up? Sunday, today, triumphal entry into Jerusalem. Tomorrow, Monday, is known as cleansing the temple day. Tuesday, controversies with the Jewish leaders. They begin to really drill down hard on Jesus. Wednesday is the day that Judas betrays Jesus. Thursday is preparation for Passover. Friday is the trial and crucifixion of Christ. Saturday, Jesus rests in the tomb. And then Sunday, he raises from the dead. This is the week that we call Passion Week. And I hope that you, as the week progresses, that you will kind of make a mental note of this week and the importance of this week. and let God use it in your life. Worshiping God with purpose. Point number one this morning, I call it the journey. The journey. I picked this word journey on purpose. When we look back on our lives are a journey, are they not? most of us would testify to the fact that through our journey of life, there have been some mountaintop experiences, and then there's been some valleys along the way. good times and bad times. How many here would say that, you know what, my journey through life has just been smooth sailing the whole way? Yeah, good luck with that. Okay? On Monday, well, go ahead and put up the next picture if you would, please, Chris, number 9. This is, again, this is up on the Mount of Olives. This is looking out over Jerusalem. To the right of this picture would be the Temple Mount, where the mosque is with the golden dome. If I had turned my phone sideways, I would have captured more of it. But if you could see to the left, that would have been where David's palace would have been. Okay, so David's palace would have been maybe 0.2 miles from that wall. It would have been about 0.2 miles to where David's palace was. So David's palace was very, very close to the temple. Very close. And then David's palace was in what they call the City of David, which would have been going downhill from there. Okay? So all this, there's a reason for all this. I'm trying to put it in perspective. But what I'm wanting you to notice is right here, right there, y'all see that? For those of you sitting over here, I'll come over here. This area right here, okay? In Jesus's day, that wall right there was not there, okay? It was added some years later, okay? Just so you know, that wall right there is what I'm talking about. that right there that I pointed at first is what is called the Southern Steps. Okay, what this would have been is this was the main entryway from the city of Jerusalem to the temple. Okay, so most people, when they would have come from Jerusalem, they would come and they would go up those steps to go to the temple. Y'all figure, okay? I got a lot of just blank looks. So right at the base, it's kind of hard to see, but right at the base of those steps were ceremonial cleansing pools, okay? Where the rich people could go to those pools, and because it was kind of a, anyway, whatever. So the rich people would go there. The poor people had to go down, all the way down to the bottom of the hill, to the Pool of Bethesda. Okay, many of you have heard about the Pool of Bethesda, okay? At the Pool of Bethesda is where the poor people cleanse themselves, they would cleanse themselves, and then they would have to walk all the way back up the hill, go up those stairs to get to the temple. Y'all with me on this, okay? Because yes, this is really important. So why is that so important? The reason is this. Not the last picture, but picture number 10. When we visited this right here, this is the Southern Steps. Again, that wall would not have been there. There are some characteristics about these steps. If you look very closely, you can see the old and the new have been blended. The old ones that are worn away and almost not there anymore date back to the time of Christ. Okay, the newer ones obviously don't. But my point is this. This is where God did something incredibly special in my heart. We serve an incredible God, do we not? Amen. He made us. He made our brains to immediately compensate for stairways. My point is this. When I was a building contractor, when I took my building exam, one of the questions that I was asked was what is the variation that is allowed between steps? So when you're building a new house and you're putting in a stairway, you're allowed variation between the steps. Okay, does that make sense? Because you can't get it perfect. But anybody know what the variation is allowed? No, that's the maximum step, okay? The variation from step to step is a 16th of an inch. Okay, and I didn't understand it when I was a building contractor, but I do now. And the reason why is because God made us so that when we take that step, our brains immediately program what the next step is going to be. And that's how God made us. So that when we, have you ever been walking up a set of stairs and then about halfway up you trip? It's because I can guarantee if you go back and you measure the step that you tripped on, it has a variation more than a 16th of an inch. Now, usually you don't see it with the naked eye, but your brain is telling you, hey, this is how far you have to lift your foot, right? Yes. Okay, and you say, what does that have to do with this? I'm glad you asked. Because if you look very, very, very carefully here, you will see that none of the steps are the same. Every step is a different height. Every step is a different depth. Some of these, like this one here, right here in the front, you actually have to take two steps to get to the next step. Okay? And again, you might be thinking, what's the point? And it's so subtle. And I'm sitting here at these steps, and this is where God did something really special. In order to go to the temple, you have to think about every step. This is not a casual walk to the temple. This is a journey that you have to think about every single step. Because if you do not think about every step, guess what you're going to do? You're going to trip. And I was sitting there, and God said, Rick, this is a picture of life. Because what happens when we try to casually walk through life? Do we not trip and fall? Now, there was a purpose for this, a religious purpose for this, and that is so that people would be diligent about their journey to the temple. Okay? Every step has to be thought about. Every step. You cannot just casually walk to the temple and just get to, you know, how many of you, when you got out of your car this morning, walking into church, thought about every step that you had to take as you made your way in? Maybe a couple of you that are struggling physically, but the majority of us, by far the majority, I did not one time, as I got out of my car this morning, even knowing I was talking about this morning, not one time did I think, okay, next step, next step. I didn't. I got out of my car and I just walked right in. Why? Because that's how we walk. But as I was sitting here, and I didn't really hear a whole lot of what our guide was talking about, mainly because God and I were just having a conversation. The journey to the temple was a purposeful journey. It wasn't a casual walk. It was a purposeful journey. And our journey with Christ is no different. Point number two this morning, our focus. Not only do we need to think about every step and along the way and focus on our journey, but it was tradition for the people when they traveled to Jerusalem for Passover or just to visit, if they were just coming to visit the temple, it was commonplace for them to sing along the way. And they would sing 15 psalms that are known as the Psalms of Ascent. Okay, the Psalms of Ascent. They are Psalm 120 through Psalm 134, if you're keeping notes. But they're all, for the most part, very short psalms. And they, you know, for us, we don't sing psalms, but they did. And they sang them all the time. And in fact, when we were in Israel, excuse me, we were there in one of the hotels on Shabbat, which is what's the English? Yeah, it was Friday evening before Sabbath. So Sabbath starts actually, I think, 6 o'clock on Friday, and it goes till 6 o'clock on Saturday. And they call it Shabbat. Anyway, a lot of the more wealthy Jews today will actually go to hotels for that 24-hour period. And the hotel that we were staying at had a huge ballroom. And it was just, we got back to the hotel, and we ate dinner in this big ballroom with all these thousands of Jews that were celebrating the Sabbath or Shabbat. And and it was an amazing thing. Families, large families would come in, and they would take up large banquet tables. I mean, just huge banquet tables. And they would all go get their food. But before they would eat, they would sing. And they would sing these psalms. And I don't know, I don't speak Hebrew, so I don't know if they were singing songs of ascent or they what, but they were singing, and they were just, and they would carry on for 15, 20, 30 minutes before they would eat their food. So the singing of the songs of ascent would take place as they would travel from wherever they lived to Jerusalem, and they would sing them over and over and over, these 15 songs. It was also tradition that as a priest would go through the cleansing, the ceremonial cleansing, and make his way up to the temple, as he was making the trip up those weird stairs, if you would, uneven, wacky stairs, they would sing the songs of ascent. These 15 songs. And so they would sing these songs as they purposefully made their way up the stairs. And considering that the temple was on top of a mountain, no matter which direction you came from, you were going up, okay? Anyway, I want to, Psalm 121 is one of the songs of ascent, and I want to read it. This is probably the most well-known of all the songs of ascent. I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills, from whence thou, from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. He will not suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. Behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is thy keeper. The Lord is thy shade upon thy right hand. The sun shall not smite thee by day nor by night. The Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. He shall preserve thee, preserve thy soul. The Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in from this time forth and even forevermore. Again, these songs of ascent, not only do are they talking and bringing the focus to God, but even the songs, if you were to go back and read these 15 songs, even within themselves, they build to a climax. As I sat on those stairs, my thoughts were very mixed. I was sitting there, and all of this stuff is just going through my mind. And I thought this. And I well, can we go back to picture number 10, please? The steps, yeah, there we go.
I didn't label them with numbers.
Oh, okay, I'm sorry. So here, can you picture yourself sitting there, and as you're sitting there in your mind's eye, can you picture Jesus walking up those stairs to the temple that day? Now, on Monday, again, tomorrow, Jesus would have made the journey to the temple. In your mind's eye, can you see Jesus? Now think about this. Jesus would have left where he was staying in Jerusalem, probably what is known as the upper room. He probably would have left there, made his way down to the Pool of Bethesda, more than likely, because he was poor. Would have gone through the ceremonial cleansing process. And then he would have made his way up through the city of David, up to these steps, and he would have made his way up these steps to the temple. I contend, I have no proof of this, I contend that he would have sang the songs of ascent as he went up those stairs. Why? Because is he not our great high priest? As he ascends these stairs, in your mind's eye, can you see him singing to the top of his voice the praises of God? Jesus knew. When he left, like I said, more than likely the upper room, to walk over to the Pool of Bethesda to cleanse himself before making the journey up the stairs. Do you think Jesus knew that the cross was just a few days away? Absolutely, he did. But yet he made the journey anyway. For you and for me. My point is this. On his journey to the cross. Because really is this the whole week. This whole week is really about the journey to the cross. On his journey to the cross, he was focused on his journey to the temple, and he was singing praises to God on his way to the temple, knowing what was waiting for him. Now, I don't know about you, but that blows my mind. There are times in our lives that we just need to stop, examine our journey that God has us on, and focus on Him. And there will be times in our lives that we need to sing praises to God when we don't feel like it. But in all of this, there's a goal, and I've got to hurry. I'm already late. There's a goal. Turn over to Psalm 134. This is the last of the songs of ascent. Behold, bless ye the Lord, all ye servants of the Lord, which by night stand in the house of the Lord. Lift up your hands in the sanctuary and bless the Lord. The Lord that made the heaven and earth, bless thee out of Zion. See, all of the songs of ascent culminate to this one song of out and out praise and honor to God. The goal. The goal in everything that we do in our lives should be to bring honor and glory to the Father. What did Jesus do when he arrived at the temple? He went through the cleansing process. He made his purposeful journey up the stairs, singing the songs of ascent, more than likely. And he gets to the temple. What does he do? He cleanses the temple. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? If any man defile the temple of God, he shall God destroy, and the temple of God is holy. Which temple are ye? Wow, what a question. What a question. On this Palm Sunday, let me challenge you to worship God with purpose. Be purposeful about your worship. Allow God the opportunity to cleanse your temple. Every step of your journey has a purpose. Sing songs of praise and goodness to God along the way. In the valleys and the mountaintops, sing praise to Him. Always with the goal of bringing honor and glory to Him. My singular moment, my special moment, came as we sat on those steps. And I saw the need for a purposeful journey. I don't want to be casual in my Christianity. I don't want to approach God in a casual sense. I want to do it with purpose, meaningful purpose. And that means there are times that God has to cleanse my temple, because I am the temple of the Holy Spirit. Could be this morning that there is some cleansing that needs to take place. Not by me, but by Him. Let's pray. Dear Lord, thank You. Thank You for Your love and for the work that You do in our lives. And Lord, I do ask that You would just do a mighty work in our lives. That You would help us to see and to know how much You love us. And the fact that You would even start this week with a triumphal entry, knowing what was coming. And yet You did it anyway. All for the culmination of next Sunday. And that is the resurrection. And I thank You for that. I praise You for that. Help us, dear God. Help us, dear God, to never lose our focus on that day. The importance of the resurrection. Help us never to lose that. Help us, Lord. With every head bowed and every eye closed. Is there anyone say, Pastor, God spoke in my heart this morning.